Welcome to Those Gals at Work, the podcast where two female entrepreneurs keep it real while navigating the world of business. I'm Kayla, your money gal.
And I'm Sadie, your marketing gal. We get the struggles of owning a business, paying ourselves what we're worth, all while serving our clients.
Join us as we tackle topics like personal growth, business strategies, and work-life balance.
Or lack thereof.
From money
to marketing and everything in between, we are Those Gals at Work.
We'll never talk in this insane speech of higher level speech because your everyday person, including myself, is not going to understand it.
They're not
going to
connect with that. And they're going to just be nervous and then instantly be turned off from the whole thing.
Or they'll be intimidated by it and they're like, oh, I need this person in my corner because they know what they're talking about because they know all these big words. Well, guess what? They probably don't actually know what they're talking about. They're just saying these big words because they know the big word and they know it's going to trigger you to being almost fearful or like, oh, crap, I should know this.
Well, not everybody's like that, of course, but you can usually pick them out.
Yes.
Like, hopefully you can pick them out.
Cross your fingers. And that's hard. That's red flags are definitely hard to notice sometimes. And sometimes we notice them and then we try to brush them off. It's just like dating, unfortunately.
Okay, let's go back to the topic of imposter syndrome.
Yes.
When you're feeling like an imposter, how do you work through that?
Oh.
Personally? Yeah, for you, Kayla.
So there are a lot of ways I do it, I guess. The first one is I call my friends or I vent and I say, okay, this happened. Like, am I in the wrong? One or two, let me just vet this out so I can tell myself I'm in the wrong and move forward, or I'm definitely in the right, whichever way it goes that day, because there are definitely times that I'm in the wrong. But the other thing I do is I go in and look at my reviews from my trusted clients.
That is a really good idea.
Yes. And I think that's
a really, really good idea
in the corporate world of like writing down. Hey, my boss said, hey, good job today. I think it's so important. Same thing for your clients. Sometimes the weird thing about reviews in general is that you either have to have a really fucking amazing experience or they have a really terrible experience. There's no
mid-review. It was all right.
Yeah.
3 out of 5 stars.
Which, I mean, we welcome those too, but...
Usually we're getting people upset or not upset. But I think that looking at reviews is a really smart idea, or like writing down your wins if you're working for someone else and kind of recalling those when you're having a moment, because it's really easy to forget about some small win from last week when you're dealing with what feels like a huge issue today. And so to kind of like smack yourself back into reality and be like, oh, wow. I have these 10 clients who all said, I'm totally qualified to do this. I am qualified to do this. I'm just having a moment. This is overwhelming. That's a really good tip to look at.
Or even just, it's a reminder of this client is not the right fit for me. Was I in a moment of scarcity signing on this client? And it just wasn't the right fit. And I should have, you know, referred them out to somebody else.
Yeah.
What do you do?
I'm like big on affirmations. Wow, I just tapped. It's going to be an ASMR podcast. I really like your idea about reviews, but...
What do you do? What have you done to date?
I have texted people that I trust that I know will give it to me straight. Mm-hmm. I know that some people will like... just be my cheerleader, and I know that some people, my close circle, they will tell me right to my face if something is not up to par for what they know that I could be doing. And they will also be the first people to be like, hey, you're being insane, and like, you are overqualified to do what you were talking about. What's come over you right now where you think that you're underqualified for this? Why don't you think you can handle it? You've done X, Y, and Z. Like, how are you forgetting about all of this? And so I go to my trusted circle of people who will give it to me straight. I'm not going to someone who's telling me what I want to hear is what I want to point out. I'm going to someone who's going to give it to me straight.
Well, and I think that kind of, you have to learn what you're looking for in that moment too. Are you looking for fluffiness or tough love? I think that's what they called it on How I Met Your Father. They used to, the two, you know, Hillary Duff and whatever the other gal's name was, they used to, as friends on the show, they used to say, are you looking for fluffy or tough love? I forget what actual phrasing they actually use. But it's exactly that. Sometimes I'm totally looking for the fluffy.
Well, I tell people that, and I ask my friends and family that at the start of conversation. Sometimes when they start off with, can I vent? I say, do you want me to tell you what you want to hear, or do you want me to tell you the truth? It may be different.
Or even, do you just want me to listen and just give you a hug at the end of the day?
Yeah,
or
that you need from me. But yes, in a moment where I'm feeling like an imposter, I call the people who will reply and tell me what's going on.
Yes.
And because they have my best interest in mind, they're not trying to
Well, and I think you two, especially you, are so literal in all of these conversations in general, of like, you are ready to give it to the way people are really looking to receive it.
Yeah. And I think, yes, I am definitely a literal person. Words matter, especially in marketing. The words that we use matter for the customers viewing the product.
Yes.
And as a business owner, I'm sure you'd agree, our words matter when we're trying to acquire new clients. Our words matter when we're writing contracts. Our words matter when we're presenting, because it's all a reflection on us. And so I'm very, very careful with what I say and how I say it, because interpretation is real. And
well, and that leads into having a lot of responsibility with running a business. There's so much responsibility, but there's also so much freedom. Like, the idea of going back to the corporate world.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Well, you threw up.
No.
I know. I'm guilty of never being on time. One, I was 45 minutes late to my first date with Grady. If you did not know that, fun fact.
Oh, my God. I am perpetually on time or 5 minutes early. This is how we are different people.
Yes. That said, with my clients, I do my best to be on time, especially if I have a deadline. I am on time, but work on a normal schedule by any means.
I mean, right now it is 7 p.m. We're recording a podcast.
Yes.
The workday is done. This makes me think of that joke where it's like, I didn't want to work a 9-to-5, so now I work 24/7.
100%. And that's like, where the whole not life balance is here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, this is fun for us.
This is freedom, though. This is the freedom, because we got to decide, okay, after work, like after our main work day, we can meet and we can come together to do this, versus, oh, we have to reach out to our department head and see if this overtime is approved, for them to tell us, no, you need to find time in your working day and we still need it by this time, but you have 100 other meetings. So like, there's no freedom there.
Well, and as a mom, I can't work a normal 9-to-5. I think about, and that's part of the reason why I started my business in general, the idea of, one, I am the main person. If my son gets sick, I am the person that stays home. And in fact, he's sick right now. So I started the day later because he hasn't slept the last two nights for a full 8 to 10, 11 hours. 11 hours is his normal. So I've had to kind of adjust my schedule to, one, meet my own deadlines for my clients as well as my team, but also myself. So we kind of have to be aware of this schedule. So the idea of going back to corporate and having a 9-to-5 is there's no way I would get any sort of vacation, because all of my vacation would be spent at home with my sick child, because yay, daycare. But that's part of the idea of me going to back to an office. There's just no way.
Well, and like, I didn't have an experience like that personally. Like, I had a lot of great flexibility with my old corporate job. Like, I got to go network once a week in the morning and show up a little bit late to work, and got to take an hour lunch instead of, you know, in some positions you only got 30 minutes. So I had like pretty good flexibility there, but only having so much time off is like a real buzzkill. Yes. And like, having to ask someone if you can go on the vacation that you want to go on with your partner is a real buzzkill.
Yeah.
And like, I like that type of freedom. I mean, there's a lot of responsibility that comes with that freedom. Like, if I don't close enough deals this week, I can't afford to take a week off because I need to pay myself so that I can go on the trip and pay for the things on the trip.
Exactly.
So, like, I may not have to get my time off approved, but I do have to find my own paycheck. So,
well, we might not have a corporate boss anymore, but our clients are our bosses.
Yeah, absolutely. They have times where they need it by a certain in-hand date, or there is a deadline set by the state or the country that we need to abide by, and it needs to get done. And that is what it is.
Well, and for me, if your employees are that want to be paid, I can run payroll on time. And it doesn't matter when I take vacation or not, unless I assign it to one of my team members. But that's, you know, but even then, I have the luxury of, I didn't really
have to make sure your team member can even do it.
Exactly. And I have to make sure that the SOP is in, or, you know, the standard operating procedure is in correct, or they have access to everything. And on top of it, they do it correctly. They don't overpay. They don't underpay. So there's like that. You know, there.
Right. So you may not have to ask your boss for time off, but now you have the added responsibility of managing a staff to cover for you so that you can take the time off that you don't need to get approved. But you have to make sure things keep running in the background, which is a huge responsibility.
Yes. Yeah. And I'm now officially a girl boss because not only do I care about feeding the table at my own home, but now I have to feed tables at other people's homes too. That was a weird way to put it, but there you go. But, you know, that's...
Well, there's a lot more on your back now. Before, you show up to your full-time job, and every 2 weeks or whatever frequency they do it, you get direct deposit, and things are cooking, and it's happening, and it is what it is.
God, it's security, I will say that.
It's very stable. It's very, very stable knowing how your money is going to work that way.
Well, and I think on top of it, too, when you decide to start your own business, if you are not ready to go on your own growth journey or accept where you are in life. For me, it was being a mom and being a wife and being a business owner, all the things, and accepting that my journey of business is going to be very different from yours or hers or theirs, then you're not ready to go on that business journey.
Well, and there's so much mental lead up that you have to do to make that plunge to work for yourself.
Yes.
There's a lot of like financial stuff you have to figure out. Like for me, I saved enough rent to pay for one calendar year. 12 months of my portion of the rent with my partner, I saved before I was even able to start thinking about quitting. Because in my mind, I was like, if I don't land a single sale, if my world just stops, at least my rent is paid while I try to figure it out. Because at some point, I'll be able to figure it out and I won't be dipping into that. And that'll be great. But I couldn't even, there's so much you have to figure out before you start. And so many people just like jump in to being a business owner and then they're confused when things aren't working out the way that they need to because they...
Well, that goes back right back to that mindset. Not only they're like, I bet in one way or another, having that chunk of change helped you with your imposter syndrome of like, okay, I'm ready to do this.
Well, giving a security blanket.
Yeah, exactly. It's giving yourself that security blanket. Well, so for me, I didn't really have that opportunity. I wish I did in some ways, but as I said, I started my business in the pandemic and as a new mom.
Right. Did a lot going on.
Fucking expensive.
Not like anything was even open. So that adds like a whole layer to what you were trying to figure out.
Exactly. And new trials. So mine was, you know, I have to start this business. I can only start it part time. What can I cover? And how the hell am I going to do it with never had running a business before, never had, you know, any sort of business or accounting class in the past other than my corporate training? And, you know, for me, numbers have always clicked. So it was easy for me to be like, I could totally be a bookkeeper for everybody else. But the idea of wearing the other hats, like marketing and all the other hats, there are so many hats that we can eventually outsource as every single bookkeeper or business owner. It's overwhelming, even starting part-time and just trying to say, can we make ends meet?
Literally, it's hard to figure out how you're going to ask someone to have a meeting, to try to even get to know them, to sell something. Like, literally down to just the very basic interaction, it's so much to figure out.
It is. It's so much. And well, and just the timing of it all, too. Does my timing schedule work with your timing schedule? And can we make it happen? And are you okay with a child running in the background because he's sick today and he is interrupting our call? Or are you okay with the dog barking in the background? I will say that was definitely the benefit of the pandemic in general, of background noise and it being interrupted in calls.
Yeah, people kind of got over that.
More accepted.
Yeah. Well, because life happens.
Yeah.
That's going to be a fat topic for us always, every episode, is that like life happens and we're trying to figure out how to navigate being a business owner and having a life and having a family.
And every single one of that, of what you just said, is imposter syndrome as well. Well, I can't do it because I'm a mom. Well, I can't do it because I'm in a corporate world. Well, I can't do it because of this. It's all of those excuses over and over and over again that we can easily say, no, you can do it. And you're having imposter syndrome.
Okay, I'm going to talk about this. I'm going to tell a story really quick. I went to the Adobe Max conference last year. It was in LA. It was awesome. I will plug Adobe every day until the day I die. They are not sponsoring me, but hopefully one day they will be. I would love to speak on your stage if you're listening to this. I went to Adobe Max last year and they had a bunch of keynotes, and there was a keynote, this guy named Walker Noble. Definitely look him up on Instagram. He's an artist. He's fabulous. He's so warm. He did a whole presentation that was basically talking about imposter syndrome. And the story he told was, when he was young, someone in his class or whatever saw a commercial and said, oh, that's my uncle, or whatever they said. And everyone in the class immediately was like, that can't be your uncle. Like, there's no way that that's your uncle. Just like immediately getting on her about how there's no way it could be, she could be related to this person on TV. And he was like, all I remember thinking was, why couldn't it be her uncle? Why not her? Why couldn't this happen to her? And I was like, that is such a powerful message. And that was the message of the rest of his talk, was, why not me? Why can't I figure it out? Why am I not qualified to do this? I absolutely am. I'm thinking about it. I'm talking about it. I'm researching it. Why not me? And I was literally never once cried listening to someone talk.
Oh my God.
Like, in a speech format, and I'm just like blubbering like an idiot in this sea of, you know, tens of thousands of people listening to Walker just say, why not me, why not me? Literally have it tattooed on my arm, and I look at it on post-it on my computer. I have to remind myself, that's the way that I cope with imposter syndrome.
Yeah.
Is I think, why not me? Why can't I do this? Like, why couldn't it happen to me? And it's a great story, but
you know, Walker, it's this morning I was actually on a call for Profit First, and they had this gal on, and I'm gonna have to tag in the show notes the book that she's actually referencing, and I have not read the book, but called something What If. I'll tag in the show notes. But where I was going with this is, it has that same feeling of why not me, because when we think about what ifs in general, is it's always, what if I fuck up? What if I, it always has this negative connotation.
Yeah.
But what if we actually had a positive connotation? What if this podcast is booming and we are millions of followers?
Literally.
What if?
Listen, I'm a Giggly Squad girly. Yeah. And if you listen to Giggly Squad, you know what that entails. But Hannah Berner was literally just talking about how she was having a little mentee bee, and when she was having one, she posted an inspirational quote on Instagram, and that's like weird and cringe, and she knows that, and she admitted it, and we all laughed together because we're all close personal friends as Gigglers. She said this statement in her talk. She was like, what would happen if my dreams came true, or something like that.
Yeah.
It was like, oh, true. Like, how lit would that be if my dreams did come true? Why couldn't my dreams come true? Like,
yeah,
we all get really negative sometimes because dealing with life is a lot. And so changing our mental framework about how we look at those challenges,
it's important.
It's important, and it can be super empowering to like, yes, change from I'm nervous to I'm excited, because those are actually the same.
Yeah.
Let's talk about how we can help people.
Yeah.
If you want to talk to us and like need some help talking through, you know, a marketing strategy or like a design plan or like what you should be tapping into your bookkeeper or CPA or how we should be looking at your books, both Kayla and I offer consultations. We have our own fun names for them, but we do offer that to business owners locally to us in Reno, Nevada, or wherever for that matter, as long as we can connect virtually. Personally, I like to see people's faces during consultations. Is that the same for you?
Kind of both.
I don't mind doing it just via phone.
Yeah, I mean, my free consultation is usually via phone or like Google Meet. But I do a lot of video conversation, especially when I'm first connecting and getting people onboarded. I do during my coaching calls, for sure, we're on video call. I need to be able to look at your face when I say something that is either going to put you into a money scarcity mindset or
need to see your reaction so that we can adjust how we're approaching the topic with you. And a lot of that is lost, like without being face to face. But the moral of that story is we're both here to help serve you.
Well, and our services are so much more than just a logo design or your
cleaning up my books.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. Because we do talk about all of these things with our clients, and especially as we're helping our clients grow, it's needed. We're not just here to be that one person. And if we aren't that person for you,
we will refer you to the perfect person.
Yes, exactly. Like it, even if it's not just marketing or it's not just money, and we know that, hey, you need insurance, we have a gal for you. And, you know, we have all of those resources too for our clients. We are so much more than just your money gal and your marketing gal.
And we're going to talk about all of that and more in coming episodes. I'm Sadie. I'm your marketing gal.
And I'm Kayla, your money gal.
And we are those gals at work. Thank you so much for listening. And keep coming back. Thank you so much, guys. Bye.
Bye.